is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Thy Kingdom Come, Hidden Prophecies in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with The Lord's Prayer, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, Lord, from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Oh, amen. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
As we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
one of the reasons I so love the Bible is that it demonstrates the power of God. And the wonderful thing is, this power can operate in your life. It has in mine many times over, and I appreciate the power of God working. Now, one of the ways God is able to demonstrate his power is through answered prayer. Answered prayer. And, you know, it seems to me that one of the things that I have not emphasized enough is this power of prayer. The power of prayer. Now, if you could combine power and prayer with prophecy, wouldn't you really have something there? Imagine, there's power in prophecy. There's power in prayer. If we could bring all those elements together, what a combination. Well, today we're going to talk about just such a combination. I know you're going to be blessed today by this. How do I know? Because I have been blessed by this. And let me tell you something, this can change your life today. The Lord's Prayer. You know, so many people think that it's just an easy little formula thing, almost a feel-good thing. I understand that even at AA 12-step meetings, they say the Lord's Prayer. They hold hands. A lot of groups do that today without even understanding what the words really mean. It's almost like a recitation or a litany or some kind of a heathen incantation. Other people see it as they're asking God for something. You know, everything takes on a me aspect. But let me tell you something. The Lord's Prayer is more powerful than that. Now, you'll read in Matthew 6 that what happened was his disciples came to the Lord Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. And you know what? He did. Now, friends, that clues you in right away that something mighty is going on. Fantastic. Imagine Jesus himself teaching you and me how to pray. Well, that tells you right away, you better listen to Jesus. Since prayer changes things, since prayer can accomplish miracles, and since Jesus himself has told us how to pray, would it not be wise for you and me to pray along the lines that he has given us? Oh, I believe you can pray in all kinds of ways, and God respects that and will answer you. The Bible says that if we ask in the name of Jesus, we'll get what we ask for. Now, you cannot ask amiss, meaning you can't ask that somebody have a lightning bolt, you know, explode their head or something like that. Well, obviously, no. I mean, you can't ask that some woman love you who's married to another man or, you know, something along those lines. Well, that's wicked. That's evil. No, God's not going to answer those kinds of prayers. Well, he might answer them all right. He may let you know in no uncertain terms, one way or another, that's not what he has in mind when you pray to God. You don't want to ask God for wicked things. But if you ask God for something righteous, I know he will answer you. But there's even more than asking for personal needs. It's okay to ask God for a personal need. But let me tell you about the power of the Lord's Prayer. You see, there is hidden something. There is a hidden dimension in the Lord's Prayer. There is a mystery that has never been revealed to you in your churches, by the Bible teachers, in Christian bookstores, at Christian seminars and workshops. You will have never understood truly the Lord's Prayer and in the way you're going to understand it today when we're finished with this program. By the time you're finished, you'll say, that's amazing. I can't believe that. It's astonishing. But then you'll thank the Lord. You won't be thanking Tex Mars, but you'll thank the Lord that he has given us a prayer that is so powerful in so many ways. Now, let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. The hidden power of prophecy in the Lord's Prayer. There is prophecy in the Lord's Prayer. Most people don't know this. Most preachers and pastors have never studied it. Theologians don't have a clue. But I understand that. God is going over the heads of the establishment today, right to the individual believer. Did you hear what I just told you? Today, God's not working through dead churches. He's not working through denominations. Don't think some big mega church that has all the people and all the money has the answers. They will lead you into the pit of hell. But listen, listen closely to what Tex Mars is telling you. God is going to work in these last days directly with his remnant, his people, his chosen, a peculiar race, a peculiar generation, a royal priesthood, a small group of believers. They often are not even found sitting in the pews of churches. Are you among them, my friends? If so, you need to listen to this program, because we're going to be taught how to pray today, but in a way that you've never heard before. Because if you love Bible prophecy, you're going to learn about the prophecies hidden from the view of the uninformed, the unwise theologians and pastors. They won't even know what you're talking about when you tell them that you listened to Tex Mars and you discovered the power of prophecy. Hidden prophecies in the Lord's Prayer. Now, when I first mentioned this to some friends, they looked at me quizzically. They were puzzled. Prophecy in the Lord's Prayer? Never heard of such a thing. Oh, but listen. You see, my friends, many years ago, I discovered the secret to biblical knowledge of the last days. It was to understand this key rule, that the greatest prophet of all time was not Jeremiah. It wasn't Elijah or John the Baptist or Micah or all the other great prophets of the Bible. Oh, do pay heed to them. But listen, the greatest prophet of all was, get this, Jesus Christ. I plan to write a book someday about the prophecies of Jesus. I don't understand a moment why people go and get false prophets by this medieval astrologer from France, Nostradamus, when they can read and discover the power of prophecy and the words of Jesus Christ found in the Holy Bible. But, you know, the world is like that, isn't it? But today we're going to talk about some prophecy power given to us by Jesus. Now, I want you to understand this. We're going to start off, and you may want to take notes. Four elements in the Lord's Prayer we're going to talk about today. Did you know that the Lord's Prayer has prophecy? We're going to discuss that. Also has doctrine, has instruction for righteousness, and the Lord's Prayer has praise and glory. All of these are elements. These are things that you will find in the Lord's Prayer that you may never have even thought of. You'll find in it prophecy, doctrine, instruction for righteousness, and praise and glory. Now, let me warn you right off the bat. Please don't get out your New International Version or your Revised Standard Version of the Bible. You won't find the Lord's Prayer there. They've gutted most of the words of the Lord's Prayer. Compare Matthew 6 and Luke, the Lord's Prayer, with the NIV, and oh, you'll be shocked. It's not, half of it's missing. So keep in mind, we use the King James Bible here. And we start off understanding this, that any time you pray, you must have faith. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." So as we study the Lord's Prayer, remember, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, believe it and you'll receive it. That's right. Now, I'm not talking about fur coats and jewelry and yachts and jet set vacations. I'm talking about the important things of life, friends. That's right. I'm not talking about the carnal material things, but the great spiritual needs that you may have.
And yes, even some of the physical needs that we all have as human beings. If you believe it, you'll receive it. I'm convinced of it. I know it. It's been demonstrated in my life too many times. Remember the story of Jesus and the centurion. He said he hadn't found faith like that anywhere in Israel. But the centurion was a Roman. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." Wow. Just as you have believed, it is done to you. Now, I like that. What a privilege it is to hear God's words. You believe it, and it will be done unto you. Now, let's start off with the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to go over it almost word for word, and you will see the power that's inherent in it, the power of hidden prophecies. We start off with Our Father. You say, now, what is prophetic about that? Listen to me very carefully. In the last days, and that's what we're talking about in prophecy, there will be many who will call on God, but they really cannot proclaim the words, "Our Father." Oh, I know Billy Graham went to the National Cathedral, and there he was with the Buddhist and the Hindu and the Jew and the liberal so-called Christian, and they all proclaimed themselves to be in one accord. They all could pray to Our Father. Let me tell you something, my friends. You can't pray to Allah and Muhammad. That's not Our Father which art in heaven. Oh, no. You can't pray to the spirits of the Shinto religion or of the Buddha religion. No, 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 no. Only the Christian believer has the privilege of crying out and praying and being heard by the Father in heaven. You see, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have the Father. Let me read to you from 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist." My friends, if you deny that Jesus is Christ, you're part of the Antichrist. That's just the way it is. That's in the Bible. It's scriptural. Now, in the Quran, the Muslims were told by Muhammad that Jesus was not the Son of God. They're told in the Quran that he never died on the cross and was resurrected. That is a lie. That's what the Quran says, that our Bible is full of lies. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was truly the Christ. And therefore, my friends, they are liars. They are of the Antichrist. And the Muslim cannot cry out and pray Our Father, because his father or her father, if they're a Muslim, is the devil. And in Japan, there are millions of people that pray to the spirits of their dead ancestors. They do that in the voodoo countries of the Caribbean and in the tribal religions of Africa. They pray to the animalistic spirits and the spirits of the dead. And I don't care if Pope John Paul II says that's acceptable. It's not acceptable to God. But it is prophesied that in the last days, all of these false religions will come together as one. And that's why the Bible talks about the mystery Babylon religious system spreading throughout the earth. All tongues, all languages, except the few who are Christians, will be involved in this great ecumenical movement. You call on Our Father, it's wrong. Our Father only applies if you believe in Jesus. Jesus sits on the throne with God, not Muhammad. Muhammad's nowhere around in heaven, let me tell you, my friends. And the same thing is true for the 3 million, yes, 3 million Hindu gods and goddesses, including their principal deities such as Kali, the goddess, the cobra snake goddess, and Krishna, whom they worship. The Beatles can chant Hare Krishna all they want. And they did in their song, "My Sweet Lord." But that's not our Father. No, no, that's a devil they're praying to, my friends. And the Jews who reject Jesus can pray our Father all day long, but they are of the synagogue of Satan, it says in the book of Revelation, if they reject Jesus Christ. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Let me read you more from 1 John chapter 2. It says, whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Did you get that, my friends? If you deny the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you do not have the Father. So don't call someone Father who's not your Father. Remember some years ago, visited my grandson and granddaughter out in California. They were just little bitty kids, and they kept calling me Papaw. And they call, you know, their grandma, Wanda, my sweet, precious wife, they call her Mumsy. That's the names they have for us, Grandpa and Grandma. They call us Mumsy and Papaw. Names of affection. And I was out playing in the backyard with them and some other kids, their friends, and my little grandson, Daniel, was calling me Papaw. And one of the little neighborhood girls, she thought she'd call me that too. She said, Papaw, she was calling me. And my little grandson, Daniel, looked at her, and he scrunched up his face, and he said, don't call him Papaw. He's not your Papaw. He's my Papaw. And I just almost cracked up laughing. Little girl, you know, she was trying to be sweet too. I mean, after all, my grandkids were calling me Papaw. She thought she should call me Papaw too. But Daniel told her, don't call him Papaw. He's not your Papaw. He's my Papaw. I told Wanda about it. We just laughed our heads off.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.